Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Friday Happier Happy Hour is upon us. We have the finest of guests joining us. He is former U.S. Attorney, our good friend James Hantel. He's also the host of his own fine program, Listen, on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Morning cannolis with Jim Hantel. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. Good to be with you. Dom, good to be with you both.
Well, you know, I've got a small grievance before we move on to the interview. It's a working weekend for yours truly. And if you want to see Crudy, I'll be live in Portage this Sunday at the R&P Home and Harvest. So please come see yours truly, R&P Home and Harvest, family owned and operated, rooted in the heartland, celebrating their 1 year anniversary. I'll be there noon to 2 p.m. I'll be giving away little cool radios. You've seen them, Jim.
So I haven't. And Portage is entirely accessible from throughout the state. Everyone should descend upon Portage this weekend.
You know, you can hear the morning cannolis on 540 a.m. and on WTTN 580 a.m. in Portage. So, Jim, anyways, did the perfunctories. Welcome to the show. How you doing,
man? Glad to be with you once again.
So, you know, something interesting. I've been watching the former president's been emailing me all day through the Save America PAC. You know, apparently got my email address. Here are a few of the things that Donald Trump is offering grievances about today. Jim, I'm wondering if you can help, you know, address a few of the grievances of the former president. The document hoax lawsuit, which is weaponization of the Justice Department and the FBI, is yet another scam against me, much like Russia, Russia, Russia. Impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, the Mueller report, no collusion, spying on my campaign and getting caught. Lying to the FISA court, lying to Congress, illegally breaking into my home in Florida, in violation of the Fourth Amendment, also violating the Presidential Records Act, and so much more. So, Jim, a little bit to unpack there. Could you please address each and every one of those and fact-check them in real time? It's easier if we give a blanket false, isn't it, sir?
And we are going to be talking until about 2 o'clock in the morning, I assume, as a result of the grievances that the president has sent you today, probably not able to resolve all of them. But one of the ironies that I note, and obviously he's responding not only to history, but also about how these things are not going especially well for him. That is his civil lawsuit challenging, if you will, in this strange circumstance, the results and the continued investigation of the Mar-a-Lago documents. One of the things that has to be kept in mind is that he started this. That is, he's the one who went into court and said, you know what? I want you, judge, to take this over. I want you to do things to stop this from happening. And the judge, Eileen Cannon, initially, of course, gave him what he wanted. And now we've got the Raymond Deary, who is the special master, who's not giving him what he wants. And of course, now today, yesterday, we also have the judge now coming back and rescinding a lot of that. All of this in the public domain, which it should not be. None of this should be the subject of discussion at all. It was started by Donald Trump, and he is the one who himself is responsible for bringing this all to our attention. These are the kinds of things, including executive privilege, all of these things, they're litigated after charges are made. The best thing you could have possibly have done is have the search warrant go ahead, and then the Department of Justice would have been quiet probably for months. And instead, now he's got all of these grievances about the exact same thing that he has brought to the court's attention in the first place.
Well, I'm certainly going to let Dom go, but one more from the former president via the Save America PAC email address of mine. The headline here, Jenny Thomas stood by 2020 election fraud claims, during January 6th deposition, according to the lawyer. And here is how Trump, you know, sends out this article. Congratulations to Jenny Thomas for having the courage of her convictions. Most importantly, she is right. The election was rigged and stolen, and everyone knows it, especially the radical left Democrats who are destroying our country. Cheating on elections is the only thing they do really well, and that's because weak Republicans and rhinos allow them to get away with it. So the Supreme Court Justice's Clarence Thomas's wife has given apparently voluntary testimony, so she beat the subpoena in, sort of a negotiated voluntary testimony, my understanding, Jim, gave testimony to the January 6th committee, and as we understand, it's being reported, apparently she's still living the big lie, just like Trump.
She is. 3.5 hours. Adam Schiff coming forth afterwards and saying, left a lot of wiggle room. So when it comes to her attorneys saying she answered all the questions, we'll see. We'll see if that really was the case. You can say a lot of things and answer questions without providing a whole lot of substance. My observation, again, from some of the reporting coming out of this, which we assume is going to be accurate, is, you know, you've always got two kinds of witnesses. You've got fact witnesses. And that's what Benny Thompson and the others really want to do. When you had conversations with Mark Meadows, were they incorporated in your emails? What about this connection you had with John Eastman? What about Jared Kushner? What about the electors in Wisconsin and other places finding out about facts and things that actually happened? That's what's been the focus of this. I'm hoping that the committee drilled down on exactly those kinds of things, because the other portion of this, which is kind of what the former president is grabbing onto now, is just this articulation of her, of, yes, what's called the big lie, but this view that is just an opinion premised upon nothing. That doesn't get the committee anywhere to simply give her this forum to say these crazy things once again. So you've got these two sort of maybe not competing things going on, but very different things going on. I'm hoping that most of that 3.5 hour period was not simply Jenny Thomas once again pontificating about these kinds of things that fall in the category of moon landing never happened, JFK alive and well in Dallas, those kinds of things. I hope they spent most of their time drilling down on the specifics of her communications before, during, and after January 6th, and finding out exactly what role she played in perpetuating this big lie, but most importantly, accomplishing what happened on January 6th.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, our fine guest. Jim, I think there's a couple of things. Obviously, it's the actions that Jenny Thomas took with regards to the insurrection. And also, it is any communications or efforts that she shared with her husband, who happens to be Clarence Thomas, a sitting Supreme Court justice, who was the only guy who, ruled against these emails coming out that would show that his wife had communications with Mark Meadows and others. I mean, so already off the bat, I'm like, well, I mean, I don't believe it for a minute. Now, the impression that I got was from the reporting, well, she basically said, no, she didn't share anything with Clarence. But then I saw some Twitter feeds of some lawyers that I respect saying, well, she said, you know, she didn't talk to him in detail. You know, like offering nuances to her answers. Jim, number one, is it important that the public know, that the J6 committee knows, whether or not Jenny Thomas talked to her husband specifically about this insurrection and her efforts? And number two, if she's lying to them or insinuating or not giving the full truth, what does that portend for her?
Sure. Both very, very good things that the committee should drill into. And both of those questions, Dom, fall into the category of good prosecutors like Schiff, presumably like others on the committee, who are looking at this and saying, we need to talk to this witness to figure out if there's anything that we have missed. And so when it comes to things like conversations with her spouse about this, they may not exactly lead to something that's factually important to the committee, could or could not, we don't know. But you want to ask those questions just so you don't miss anything. That's number one about all this. The second part of this is, her comments about, she said there's an ironclad rule inside their house that she and her husband do not talk about cases pending before the Supreme Court. And then again, this very, very innocuous statement about not detailed. We'll have to see what the transcript says about this. Is that perjury? Is she lying? perjury, as we've talked a lot in the past, is a difficult thing to show. On the other hand, we expect when you sit down and testify under oath that you'll be honest about everything. And that is including things that we can probably never confirm with absolute certainty, including conversations that you've had. And so I'm very hopeful that people like Adam Schiff and others did not simply let her get away, if you will, with these broad statements about, oh, I never talked to my spouse about these things. And there were not a particular detailed conversations about January 6th. Well, you follow up on those. Why? Because you want to make certain you haven't missed anything. And again, it doesn't add a whole lot. I suspect in the end, Ginni Thomas is not going to be a real key figure in the final report. But you want to do all that specific questioning to ensure that you've got the complete story on what happened, including from somebody who did involve herself in advocacy over January 6th.
Our fine guest, James Cannoli, pardon me. You know what I was getting to? Jim Santel, host of Morning Cannolis, right here.
I like it. Civic
Media Network. From now on, forevermore, you're James Cannoli.
We're going with that. Absolutely.
What is it? Leave the gun. Listen to the James Cannoli. Jim Santel, the host of Morning Cannolis, right here on the Civic Media Network, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11. I'm sure that will be a fine show, Jim. You know, now I've forgotten my point, but I do have a question, sort of a dithering. No, it was about Robin Foss. Robin Foss was subpoenaed, right, or at least requested to testify. No, subpoenaed to testify before the J6. I guess I'm going to think aloud here on the radio with you, Jim. And my understanding is he sued the J6 committee, sued in the federal courts to block the subpoena, you know, basically claiming it's an invalid subpoena. And the courts will have a hearing for Robin Voss on October 24th, I believe. Can you see the theoretical time frame happening that Robin Voss is not compelled to testify because the midterm elections get here and they've got to drop this report and he gets off the hook completely on giving testimony about his conversations with Donald Trump?
The timing is unmistakably very, very tight. We've talked about this in the past. I think that this committee has got to drop this report in the month that starts tonight at midnight, right? It's got to happen in the next couple of weeks so that it can have some impact, so that people can understand this and have some impact upon that understanding. If it's dropped on even after that, this is problematic.
Come back. So, yeah. More October surprises with Jim Santel. Tequila.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go online to the Devil's Advocates radio page. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Devil Radio and Facebook at the Devil's Advocates radio. And apparently at some point we'll get our Instagram page up and running.
Yeah, the kids are clamoring for it. We've got the finest of legal eagles, former U.S. attorney, our good friend, Jim Santel. He is the host of Morning Cannolis, now known as James Cannoli. Jim, I also may need to put you on the bat phone for October 17th. That is the day of the trial of the Devil's Advocates. We have an afternoon trial in the Dane County Courts, and we have subpoenaed every fraudulent Trump elector in the state of Wisconsin, or through counsel we have, as witnesses, fact witnesses. So, Jim, you know, we're hoping it gets real interesting here, hoping to offer our own little October surprise, October 17th, but may need your expert commentary, you know, or fill-in hosting duties, one or the other. We'll see. We'll
keep you on speed. All of those things, right? Right? Exactly. Especially since, again, not only timely, but also more and more thinking that this false electors matter is one that could indeed form the core of some criminal prosecutions here. We've talked at great length about all these things that are going on, some of which are clear, some of which are not clear. Here, as we have chatted before, you've got documents signed by people attesting that they are legitimate electors from the state of Wisconsin, other states, sent to the government of the United States for what purpose? To undermine the counting of the Electoral College votes. That's a pretty core core problem for those electors. That's a pretty basic prosecution unit. And so we'll look forward to not only October 17th, but whatever the Department of Justice may do on this, and maybe some other state attorneys general out there as well, who likewise feel defrauded by these fraudulent electors.
Jim, we played some of the sound of a television interview with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and a fine journalist from NBC 26, I believe out of Green Bay yesterday. And during the course of that, she sounded a little prosecutorial. She did fine journalism. She pressed Ron Johnson for clarity, for explanation on his involvement in trying to hand off the false Trump electors to the vice president. He made the statement to her, I got a call from Trump's attorney. And my speculation, Jim, is, was it possible that Trump wanted to show up at the Capitol and deliver the false Trump electors himself? And when he was blocked by his Secret Service detail from going to the Capitol, they needed a way to deliver these false documents. And Ron Johnson was a willing co-conspirator. But back to the interview, the less speculative part, she did a fine job and she pressed him. And he said, well, my involvement was only second. She said, yeah, but that's still involvement. Jim, that's a good point that would be made in front of a jury or a judge, would it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your timing, of course, the extent to which you're involved in criminal activity, sure, that can last for hours, minutes, days, months, that sort of thing. But crimes can be committed in a moment, in an instant. We talked before about perjury. I'm under oath and I say something that's material that you can show is in fact not true. And I do that knowingly and intentionally. I've committed a crime in that moment. The same for this, that same sort of thing. If in fact you are involved, whether it's with a 30-second conversation, walking across the Capitol grounds to deliver documents, having your staff do it, all those kinds of things, crime doesn't have to take place over a long period of time. It can be done. And this particular reporter's focus on that, again, as you indicated, spot on, completely appropriate. And the limited nature of the involvement in terms of timing does not absolve our senior senator from involvement in this process on January 6th, right before it, right afterwards. It is not an excuse. And I think she did a good job also of focusing our attention on his involvement.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, on the line with us. Jim, thank you once again. Sorry, I missed your all-community discussion yesterday. You were out in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, talking about the Supreme Court docket head obligations, Jim. The Big Lebowski was playing at the Oriental Theater in honor of Landmark Lane's 95th anniversary. It's already committed, man, but the dude abides, so I had to go.
I can't compete with that. I never will. So I made the right choice, Tom.
The respect for the Supreme Court is at a new low. In 1976, it was 63%. In 1997, it was at 71%. Apparently now, under Chief Justice Roberts, it's at 47%. I'm seeing lots of articles and headlines about what's coming up on the docket, Jim. And I know there's some concerns there. I want to give you a minute or two to talk about what do you think are the big headlines going to come out on this next session.
Sure. There's an awful lot of pundits who are brighter than I am, more attuned, who are saying, you know, if you think that this past term was a lot, just wait. One of them said the Supreme Court justices are just getting started. And yes, there may not be the big ticket in terms of singular word items like abortion and guns and greenhouse gases, but we're going back to some of those same issues. And the two big things I see in terms of trends, Dom and Mike, are these. Number one, an inclination in at least two or three of these major cases to simply reverse longstanding tradition, longstanding precedent by the Supreme Court. One of them involves the capacity to sue, for example, when you've been the victim of healthcare fraud or nursing home fraud under Medicare and Medicaid, those kinds of things. We are very much inclined, this Supreme Court is, to simply say that that law is wrong and reverse it. That's number one that I'm seeing. And the second portion of this also goes to a fundamental mistrust about the executive branch and government. As we saw in the last term, when it comes to the environmental cases, a rescission of the capacity of the executive branch to do its job. Same kinds of cases coming up now once again. Again, in the environmental area, the immigration area in particular, a big case there. And perhaps the most important one of all, there is this oddball. It is not only fringe, it's out there theory that when it comes to the review of election decisions and rules and regulations, that James Madison intended that decisions about those would only be resolved by state legislatures. It's called the Elections Clause. And they're going to take this up. And we've got Supreme Court justices who are embracing this. That's the most dangerous case on their docket right now. We need to watch it very, very carefully. And there are others as well.
Jim said, tell people need to listen very, very carefully to the Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Network. Jim, always appreciate you coming around. Have a great weekend. Have a great show. Come back, more Devils.
Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Take care.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the happier happy hour. Thank you, James Santel. I call him Jim Cannoli, host of Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. The former U.S. attorney is a good friend of ours. We appreciate it, Jim, when you come around. And we appreciate the very patient callers that have held all the way through that segment. Sort of an extended segment. 844-967-2789. Let's go back to the phones in our fair audience. Time for your grievance, Angie from Monroe. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, Angie.
Hello. Hi. Hey, I just want to talk about a conversation that I had with somebody. Apparently, she's from up north, but we were talking about, I guess she knew someone that, you remember that thing where that guy hit all those people in that parade? Well, she knew someone that died in that. And so with Mandela Barnes and this lady, one of their ads is how Mandela Barnes is letting everyone out on parole. And I was like, no, it's not a Mandela Barnes thing. That is just an against women thing. Cause from what I had heard that guy that, went through the parade was actually going after his ex-girlfriend. And that's why he got out of, that's why he got out early. You know, like there was no bail for him because,
well, he was out. Daryl Brooks, I believe the offender's name, was out on a low bail. It should have been probably a higher bail. I think the Milwaukee assistant DA admitted as much. You know, they should have been more cautious because the guy had already tried to run this woman over. He was a known domestic abuser.
Right, and that's what I was trying to explain to her. I'm like, this is just how it is against women. I mean, anybody that has ever had to go against their ex, I mean, it's really hard to prove and to lock up your abuser. And I mean, it's very hard to lock them up. And I don't know. And I'm like, this is not a Mandela thing. This is just a law thing.
Well, Angie, it's politically expedient for Republicans to frame it this way, because many of those very same Republicans don't support things like red flag laws that would take guns away from domestic abusers when judges say they're probably going to harm themselves or others if they have a gun. You know, so you know, it's just a way to beat the black lieutenant governor over the head with crime as an issue, to my opinion. Of course, Daryl Brooks was black, and I don't know if you noticed, Angie, but Mandela Barnes also black. You see how they play that game?
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring it up with you on the airways so that we could actually talk about this ad that is actually running, and it's about this parade and that Daniel guy. Yeah, it's about that. And it's like, that's all, no one mentions that it's about an ex-abuser. And How many of these laws actually let out abusers? There's a lot, and we really need to actually go through them and protect women more. That's what this should be about, not a low bail thing. It's about women. I mean, anytime a woman is trying to go after their abusers, they just cannot put them away. And these laws against women just need to change. And it's not a Mandel thing. This is just a thing.
Angie, well said. Appreciate your call, your grievance, if you will. Very well said.
Totally agree, and great points, Angie. And just one other thing regarding the issues. We brought this up, and I'm going to throw it out there again. PolitiFact, and they rated mostly true when he said, when it said that under his plan to end cash bail, the Waukesha perpetrator wouldn't have been released. Again, that's mostly true. You can look it up. They break it down. I just want to read a couple of points. The proposed statute did give a judge discretion while requiring that additional evidence beyond the nature, number, and gravity of offenses be presented before a jury, but judge can deny someone release. So under the current system, cash bail is meant to ensure that a defendant shows up at trial. It's not meant to keep the defendant in jail. So once the bail is posted, he or she can go free. It's possible Brooks might not have been released, but there's no guarantee of that. Again, just at the end, this mostly true. A simple reading of the proposed statute makes clear that it was aimed at cases such as the one involving Brooks, who Angie says, who days earlier was accused of attacking and trying to run over his girlfriend with an SUV. Although the proposal would have eliminated cash bail, it also would have set other specific standards, such as this one. However, it's impossible to know how a judge would have ruled. In short, the Barnes' campaign is stating a certainty where only a possibility, albeit a strong one, exists. For the statement, that is accurate, but needs some clarification. PolitiFact says it is mostly true. And at the end of the day, Angie, yes, number one, those kinds of laws and rules as it pertains to domestic violence and violence against women, absolutely. I mean, these are made from the patriarchy, right? These absolutely should be looked at and taken much more seriously. But number two, from a political standpoint, they're running the black man, angry black man running for Senate. And here's another angry black man who actually ran over a bunch of people without even giving any context. But that's the way I look at it, and appreciate your call.
Sadly, with like 14,000 repetitions of that message on TV alone, it's starting to have impact. It's starting to affect the polling, at least at this time, about 39 days away from Election Day. The recent polling, and there's been more than one, Fox News AARP polling currently indicates that Mandela is trailing Ron Johnson by about a handful, about four or five. 844-967-2789, perhaps most patient of all, Mark from the SAC. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us this fine Friday afternoon?
Well, it's time to indict the lion Ron Johnson for his participation in the election attempt to overthrow the election. How mortal is that for Ron Johnson to do something like that? He took an oath to uphold the Constitution. He violated that oath on this occasion specifically. I mean, how immoral is it for Ron Johnson to protect pedophiles when he was trying to protect the church from having to pay out, try to hide money from, they got invested. I can't remember the details, but he was trying to protect the pedophiles. Or how moral is that? I mean, that Ron Johnson is not a moral man. I mean, that based on those two things alone, I mean, that don't give me this crap that Mandela
Barnes says he is. He's a moral man. He said so.
Yeah, well, other people have said they're moral men and they're completely amoral. Donald Trump says it all the time, how wonderful he is. And amoral man has never been our president. It is just, and has Ron Johnson condemned Donald Trump for stealing those documents? That's something a moral man would do. Condemn the president, the former president, for stealing from the people of the United States. But he doesn't have the courage to do that. I mean,
moral, that's like the mushrooms, right?
Different spelling,
in more ways than one.
Mark, appreciate your call. We got lots of people stacked up that want to, air their grievances this fine Friday afternoon, including our pal Andy in Dodge County, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Welcome, Andy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Andy.
Well, the world traveler, Dom, I'm glad you're back safely.
Thanks, man.
When you guys are on the air together, it's great. But in my grievance category, I think somewhere the message is being lost as the Democrats about our two candidates, Johnson and Michaels. There was a guy in Beaver Dam, or a couple guys trying to haul a Michaels, a big, big sign out of their pickup truck at a strip mall where the Republicans are set up. And I just hollered out the window as I went by, "You guys are with the wrong guy, forget it." But Do you guys think that what would have to be done in order to kind of turn the tide at this point with 5 or 6 weeks out?
Ooh, Mr. Carter, I can answer this one. One, Tony Evers has some good messages going on, but Tony Evers is going to have to start delivering his own message. If he wants to remain the governor of the state of Wisconsin, if he truly cares about us, he's going to have to come out his outside of his comfort zone and go all over the media, Andy. He's going to have to go out there and plead his case. Vote for me. Here's what I'll do. I'm certainly better than that guy. Above and beyond that, I personally, Andy, and you know I'm a single-issue voter, I know he's getting his ass handed to him, both Evers and Mandela Barnes, on radio.
Right.
And the fact that they've completely ceded the radio airwaves is befuddling to me. You know I'm in the industry. I look at the world through the prism of radio. But I can tell you, Andy, it's the cumulative, repetitive nature of thousands and thousands of ads playing all across the state of Wisconsin. And during the course of even a 90-day campaign, everybody's heard them, but you don't hear any response from the Democrats on your local country station, on your local news talk, or on your local rock and roll station. And therefore, it must be true.
Yeah. And over the ads are all over the internet. They're, you know, if you're watching YouTube and then all of a sudden a Ron Johnson ad pops up.
What are you doing on YouTube, Andy? You stick to the rivers and the streams we're used to.
Oh, man. You keep living, man. You experience new things. One of these days, you might even get an Instagram account.
That's right. I'm in the Stone Age. I don't even have a TV. I got the radio, thank God, and I can listen to the Devils. But no, it's just obliteration. And I think, like you say, you got to fight fire with fire. They got to really go out and push that these guys are feeding you a bunch of, as you guys said earlier in their show, BS. It's got to be good, but. Anyway, you got more callers. I will speak to you next week.
All right, Andy. Or come see me in Portage tomorrow at the R&P Home and Harvest. Crudy will be there from noon to 2 o'clock. I'll be giving away some radios, meeting some nice people, doing a few live cut-ins. That's Sunday, if I wasn't clear, R&P Home and Harvest. And that's that goofy early Packer game. It's like an 8:35 a.m. start. Talking about a grievance? What? How am I supposed to pre-party with an 8:30 a.m. kickoff?
Come on, you rookie. Obviously, you just stay up all night Saturday.
Oh, you know, that's why we got you here, Don. Just to point out the obvious. Sorry. You know, I do have the little function after that, though. Bill from Merrimack. Welcome back, Bill. How you been? What's your grievance? Hello, Bill.
Bill from Oconomowoc.
Sure, Bill, if that's where you claim you're coming from.
Hey, Bill from Oconomowoc.
Well,
you're up.
You know me. I can revert back to that. But, hey, my hat's off whether it was true or not. It was wonderful. Somebody had something going that there was a Ron Johnson statue downtown Milwaukee made out of manure.
Yeah, it's true.
I thought, how appropriate. Oh, it's true. Well, it's nearly
the spitting image of Ron Johnson, although more pigmentation.
Well, anyhow, I think we should use that in a promo. And just to incite those people, because the previous caller mentioned Ron Johnson is committed a felony. He took an oath of office. He tried to throw an election, and nobody's calling him out. I'm going to give like a Fox News alert, and this is a Bill from Oconomowoc alert. If we don't get off our butts, all of us, myself included, and get out there and start promoting the truth, it's over, Rover. We're going to lose everything in less than 40 days.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's over. Our democracy, as we know it, is going to cease if they flip on us. And the polls don't look good. We should be out by 10 points and cruising to a victory. We should have lapped them like Secretariat. We should have just left them in the dust. But no, Democrats are apathetic about being apathetic. I don't know what's wrong with them. They just can't get going. Well, you may not ever have to worry about getting going. It's 40 days. Getting going will be a thing in the past. We'll talk about how things used to be. And, Crudy, you've done your best. Your station, I think, has definitely done their best. We, the listeners, need to do more. Thanks, and have a great weekend.
Yes, Bill. if Tony Evers loses, it'll be entirely your fault, sir, for not doing sufficient to lift the electorate and on your broad shoulders. Bill, you know.
Well, it is. I mean, it is talking about it, and certainly on the airwaves, but with your friends, with your family, out and about, when you see something, say something, right? With your time and phone banking. We had callers yesterday talking about it. It takes effort. It does. Or a little money. If you don't got the time, maybe get some money.
Civic media. Be civically engaged. See, it's right in the name. We're doing it for you. More Devils, we do it for you.
Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver fake electors' votes.
Play it again, son.
Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver fake electors' votes.
Play it again, son.
Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver fake electors' votes.
Play it again, son.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day, of the week. But we still got a little time for you at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a couple of big dates to mark on your calendar. October 7th, what do we have? We've got a WBA senatorial debate in the great state of Wisconsin. We're going to broadcast it right here on Devil Radio, originating from Madison. We're also going to broadcast it in Wisconsin Rapids. If you got a high school football game going on that night, and that's a lot of our markets, we are going to rebroadcast the senatorial debate on both Saturday and Sunday, I believe at 1 o'clock Central Time. I'll confirm that time next week, but three playouts. And then the following week, October 14th, will be the singular gubernatorial debate between Tony Evers and Tim Michaels. That debate will also play out here 7 o'clock again on a Friday night. You're killing me on the high school football schedules, but we'll play them again on Devil Radio. That'll be our flagship, if you will. And we'll also play it out in Wisconsin Rapids and hopefully on a few more stations as we add more stations through the course of this month. And finally, Dom, and this is important for you and I and Fancy Brian, the trial of the Devil's Advocates, October 17th. Again. I don't think this has gotten enough press. This could be your October surprise, everyone. We're taking a bullet for the state of Wisconsin. You know, a legal bullet, if you know what I'm saying.
Rhetorically.
And we will be at trial that afternoon. So we may have some exclusive live coverage from the courthouse that day. We'll make it super cool. Trust me.
They'll never take me alive, Crudy.
What's the last time you and I went to trial and Jeff Scott Olson, our fine First Amendment counsel, because this, again, is really a trial about jackassery. Our jackassery was a First Amendment sort, you know, showing up with the devil tree at the Wisconsin State Capitol, and we were cited for entering a locked building, even though the Republicans were throwing a maskless COVID Christmas party and putting up their own Christmas tree, right?
Right.
And unbeknownst to any of us, well, at least not to us, the false Trump electors that very same week were in the Wisconsin State Capitol. They were, you know, what? Committing fraud? Conspiracy against our government? And, oh, yes, they were also in the locked Wisconsin Capitol building. And as near as we can tell, Dom, they were not cited for entering a locked building. So what? We have disparate treatment under law.
Again.
And hence the trial of the Devil's Advocates.
I mean, how many times do we got to be charged before it feels like persecution, man? I mean, is this what Trump feels like?
Very witch hunty. 844-967-2789. Going to speed round some grievances this Friday afternoon. Jeff from Madison, welcome back. What do you got
for Jeff. Us?
Hey, gentlemen. Dom, welcome back.
Thanks, man.
Just wanted to, you know, throw one out there that, you know, my grievance is I had to listen to my in-laws complain about how horrible Democrats are, but yet my father-in-law is going to be retiring early.
Jeff, you know, are these 16. The in-laws up by Toma, or am I thinking of a different Jeff?
Oh, yeah. No, you got that right. Yep. Going to retire early at 62, forcing his wife to retire early. So, you know.
So what, they can sit around all day and tell kids to stay off his lawn, or what's the plan for retirement, Jeff?
Well, he was telling me that he's going to get on that ECA, and my neck just about snapped looking over at him. And then he was also complaining about how, you know, people just don't want to work anymore. So I don't know what to say.
Jeff, you know, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson would encourage your father-in-law to come out of retirement. You know, America needs workers, not immigrants, but seniors, because they don't have to, you know, double up and pay Social Security. So that's quite an incentive to work in your elder years, your golden years, if you will, Jeff. Don't you think?
Thanks for the call, Jeff. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're next. Welcome.
Hey, to for us. Keep it clean or you're going to earn a bad moniker.
Yeah, come on, Dick. Keep it clean, Bubby.
That's where I'm at. My humblest apologies for that indiscretion earlier in the week.
Apology accepted.
Sincerely, thank you. But now to everything that's going on, I sincerely think this is starting to slip away too, simply because we're not firing back like everybody's bringing up. I mean, there's so much to throw at Johnson. I mean, how about an ad, a montage of his greatest hits? Well, I'm not sure my 11 years were well spent here. How about showing guys getting their heads crushed in doors and going, oh, the card was jovial. He referred to them as jovial and peaceful on January 6th.
You can't, I mean, my involvement, you know, my lack.
his involvement, Dick, you know, he hardly committed any conspiracy against the U.S. government, you know, just moments, seconds, if you will.
Just the tip.
But the sad part about this guy, guys, is this is for all the marbles, like your previous caller brought up. I mean, we're all done if this doesn't work out right. And I sincerely believe that also.
Well, really, the all done, we're scroogied sort of election, of course, is the gubernatorial election. And I would say by extension, down ballot, hear me out. If Michaels, with a gerrymandered Republican assembly and Senate in the state of Wisconsin, dude, if we lose the governor's mansion, it is chaos. They've got the courts, they got the assembly and the Senate, and they get the governor's mansion. Yep. Oh, dude, we're all living in 1849. And above and beyond that, although I certainly want to see Mandela win, numerically, if Ron Johnson retains his seat, the math doesn't change. You know what I'm saying? We could still pick up the Fetterman seat, the Tim Ryan seat in Ohio. You know, there are other seats. There are other paths to 51, 52, 53. Now, that doesn't mean I'm rooting against Mandela. I'm just telling you, the more important race is the gubernatorial race.
It certainly is, but I'm very concerned about some of those other Senate races, too. It's not a good place to be right now.
I can't live four more years under Cinema and Mansion rule. I won't.
Dick. That's why we have elections, Dick, and it's coming down to it. What an exciting time to be alive.
Look at that. Dick made it through a whole conversation without being profane with us on the radio.
2789. Chad from Greenfield, you are next. Welcome, Chad. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys, no grievances. I'm actually calling to support you guys. You guys are dead on. Your candidates, today the first day of, you know, if you look at the markets offshore, Ron Johnson's a 3-1 favorite, and today's the first day Tim Michaels took over as the favorite. I remember you guys complaining how Michaels wasn't campaigning that one weekend, 5 weekends ago. If you follow him, he's in 4 different counties every day. Today he was at 4 different stops. And Mandela, they're doing the Biden basement campaign. They're not doing anything. I don't know why.
No, that's not true. Ron, Ron against Roe. He is going to be in Green Bay to kick off that campaign this weekend. Mandela Barnes is on the road. They are certainly responding. But you're right, Chad. Right now, the math favors the Republicans. That part you got right. And that's my grievance. And I'm going to have to sit on it all weekend. Oh. Stick around for high school football in many markets. Hafeman Brothers in Madison here, and have a great weekend, and we'll do it again on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Play it again, son.
Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver fake electors.